Davids.
Here we go, taking you into a sports weekend. It is the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. I am Brett Rupp, along with Caleb Hatch. You're always connected on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line at 46862. Hey, it is our pleasure to jump right to the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline this hour. We have the pleasure of being joined by recent Colts draft pick Bernard Raimann out of Central Michigan. Of course, an offensive tackle, adds some beef and strength up front. And Bernard, first of all, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here.
It's exciting to have you as an Indianapolis Colt. Tell me about that moment you got the call. What was that moment like?
I mean, I just had a millions of emotions at the same time. I can't even describe the moment. It was such a big dream that came true, and I didn't even believe it at first, to be honest. It took me a couple hours to even realize it.
Well, you know, it's interesting in talking to you because immediately your accent comes through, and I know you are from Austria, and it's not like we think of a lot of NFL stars coming from Austria. How did you, what, first of all, what's the sport in Austria? Is it skiing? What is the main sport in Austria?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we take a lot of pride in our winter sports, but I mean, I would say the main sport is also soccer, so I did all of those growing up. And I stumbled across football pretty randomly, to be honest. I just saw some guys down the road of my dad's house play catch with a football one day. Thought that looked kind of cool. I joined them. We played catch for a little bit. And then on my 14th birthday, there was a tryout held by the Vienna Vikings, a club American football team in Vienna. And, yeah, that's just when I really fell in love with the game. And I've just been enjoying the process since.
And, of course, when you originally started in football, you were not an offensive lineman. I know even at Central Michigan, you were a tight end. Did you aspire? Did you grow up wanting to be the guy with the ball, or were you happy to make the move to the offensive line?
I mean, I actually started off as a receiver over in Austria. And at that point on, I just started to get more involved in the game and, you know, watched one of the NFL London games. So just got more involved in football, and then a couple of the guys from the Vienna Vikings, they became like exchange students and played high school football. And at that point, I thought high school football and like Friday Night Lights, that's about as cool as it gets. So it was really like the dream then was to play high school football. And then I became an exchange student, and I got to play my first Friday Night Lights. We made it to the playoffs. The whole town went crazy, and it was a huge experience. But then at the same time, I also attended my first college football game, and I kind of found out that was even cooler. So then I wanted to do that, and I was really lucky with my host family because I was able to attend a lot of the camps that schools in that area in Michigan offered, and I ended up getting recruited to Central Michigan as a tight end. And, yeah, just making the most of the opportunities that I got.
And now, Frank Reich's a guy that certainly is not opposed to certain trickery or creativity offensively. Have you had any talks to him about your ability to line up as a tackle eligible, as a guy that could maybe, you know, go out and catch one?
No, not yet. I mean,
that's coming, isn't it? That's coming.
Hopefully. I mean, I'm going to establish my spot on the team first, and then I'm going to ask him about the touchdown place. But until then, I'm going to, you know, work on my craft as an O-lineman first.
What have the Colts told you? What are the expectations in your first year? Where do they want you to be? Where do they want you to end up? What do they need you to learn?
I mean, Coach Strauss was pretty upfront with me. My expectation is to just get better every single day, and that's what I'm going to do. And, I mean, that's all I can do is just, you know, put in the work every single day, come in here and prepare myself as if I was a starter. And then, I mean, I'm sure Coach is going to tell me who's going to start before the first game, so I don't really worry about that too much. I'm just going to, you know, put my head down and work.
You know, there's a lot made out of being right tackle versus left tackle, and it almost seems like there are different skills or athletic traits that are required to be left side versus right side. How do you see the difference between a guy that's prepared to be a left tackle versus a guy that plays right tackle?
I never had the chance to play right tackle in a game, so I can't really tell you all the differences. Playing tackle at Central Michigan the last 2 years, we were just short of the position, so I never got to move around a whole lot, but... Mm-hmm. Football is football. You try to beat the defender across from you, and then if coach needs me somewhere on the right side, I'll play that too. It's wherever I'm needed.
Is there anybody in the NFL that that you idolize, that you think of, boy, the first time I meet blank, that's going to be the ultimate experience? Is there a certain guy in the NFL you are looking forward to meeting? Like last night, we got a chance to see the schedule, so now you know what teams you're going to be playing. Is there a certain guy that you've idolized or are anxious to try to meet?
Coming from Europe and then also switching over to the tackle position, Sebastian Vollmer, who played for the Patriots in the early 2010s, he's always been a huge idol of mine because he came from Germany, played college football, played for the Patriots, two-time Super Bowl champ, and I think he pretty sure was like a second-team All-Pro and just a tremendous player and like a similar background story. So obviously that was always an idol I looked up to, and I actually had the chance to meet him a couple months ago now, and so that was huge for me. And then a couple of the other idols are just, mostly the guys like on the Colts roster right now. Quentin Nelson, Ryan Kelly, Braden Smith. I'm getting to work with these guys and getting to learn from them is to me like the biggest honor, and getting to, see how they do things and how they approach the game and what makes them that special. That's the biggest part for me.
Well, we appreciate you jumping on with us. I know you're busy with rookie minicamp right now. How is that going, by the way? It's kind of your first rookie minicamp. How have camps been so far in the short time you've been a Colt?
Oh, it's fun. I'm loving it. Finally got to play football again. It was a long time of just, trying to be a track athlete and running fast in the 40 and stuff. But it's just fun to be back out in the football field and compete and work with the O-line. We have some great guys here. And being in the team room and learning and just living ball every single day, it's just awesome.
Well, we do appreciate you jumping on with us. Thank you so much. And have a great season. Have a great summer. Look forward to great things in the future from you as an Indianapolis Colt.
Thank you. Really appreciate that.
Yep. That is Bernard Raimann, offensive tackle, left tackle, Indianapolis Colts, joining us on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Austria, known for the winter sports.
Yeah.
Skiing
biathlon
is the first thing I think of.
I think, yeah, downhill. I think biathlon, I think to a lesser extent, but definitely downhill skiing. That is my first thought. If I'm not mistaken, Hermann Meyer, who is a legendary skier, I believe is from Austria.
That's probably been a question on our Tuesday time capsule trivia at some point.
It probably has.
If it hasn't, it probably will be. But no, it's great to talk to him. In fact, Caleb, when I heard his accent, it's almost like I'm talking to an IndyCar driver because they have similar accents. A lot of the guys from Europe and European countries. 46862 is our Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Questions, comments, or suggestions, 46862. So the Colts do have their schedule. And, of course, when you look at the schedule, starting out, a couple of road games. But they should be games that the Colts can handle. Although we've said that about the Colts going to Jacksonville for a number of years, and the Colts always seem to disappoint. But, the Colts opening up with games at Houston, at Jacksonville, before they come home. You almost feel like the Colts can't afford to come to their home opener 1-1. These are divisional games. They are games that you would expect Tennessee to beat both of those opponents, although Jacksonville may be significantly improved this year. But I think when you look at the Colts starting out with those two divisional opponents, two opponents that are expected to be very beatable, and especially when you look at Jacksonville. The Colts have dominated Houston of late, but when you look at Jacksonville and you look at the struggles the Colts have had at Jacksonville, they've got to get that monkey off their back. They've got to come in to their home opener 2-0, a lot of confidence, because Kansas City Chiefs will not lay down for the Colts. The Chiefs come in as the Colts' home opener. Probably couldn't get a bigger marquee opener, but the Colts will have to wait until week 3 to actually open at home. In fact, I think that's the last week that anybody will be having a home opener is week 3. The Colts taking on Kansas City, and then the very following week, the Colts will welcome Tennessee into Lucas Oil Stadium. So you almost have to get those first two just to have the confidence, and then you go in, and even if you get beat by Kansas City, you still are a 2-1 football team as you go into that game against Tennessee. You don't want to be 1-2 facing the potential of falling to 1-3 with a Tennessee team coming into Lucas Oil Stadium for game number 4.
And, you know, the way this schedule sets up, it's not just that. I mean, it's tougher than it looks, in my opinion. I went through it last night, and early prediction to me, yes, should they win the division if they can stay healthy at key positions? Yes, they should. But 10-7, I mean, that seems like a realistic number.
Yeah,
but
that's about where I was at. I mean, I think that's very fair, 10-7. In fact, if you go through and keep count of my wins for me, Caleb, because I'm just going to go through and I'm just going to give you the games that I think the Colts should or could win. Starting out, I'm going to give them the 2 wins on the road. I'm going to give them both Houston and Jacksonville. So they're 2 wins right off the bat. I think they beat Tennessee at home. I think they lose to the Broncos. Then they win against Jacksonville at home. I think they'll lose at Tennessee. I think they'll beat Washington. They'll win at New England. They will lose at the Raiders. They will beat the Eagles. They will beat the Steelers. I think they will beat the Cowboys on the road, Sunday night game. And then the Colts will play at Minnesota. And I'm not sure what to expect, because I look at that one and it's almost like the at Arizona game from last year. To me, that you know, a lot of question marks as far as just how good is Minnesota. So I'm going to pass on that one for now. I don't know if they beat the Chargers. I'm not going to give them credit for an automatic win against the Los Angeles Chargers, even though it is primetime Monday night at Lucas Oil Stadium. And then they go to New York to take on the Giants. I'll give them a win on New Year's Day. It's my birthday, so they better win. And then they finish off at home against Houston, and I'll give them a win there. Is that 10 or is that 11?
12 by my count.
12. So I've got them at 12-5. You know, yeah, I mean, the schedule is not that difficult. On the surface, it doesn't seem to be anywhere near as difficult a schedule as what the Colts had last year. Because first of all, I think the Cowboys are a little down. I think that Tennessee is a little down. Philadelphia, I think, is a question mark, but you do get them at home. Pittsburgh, I believe, is down. I don't think Pittsburgh's as good with a rookie quarterback or with Mitchell Trubisky as they would have been with a Ben Roethlisberger. So the toughest quarterbacks they face this season, and I don't know what Trevor Lawrence is going to be in year 2, but the toughest quarterbacks they face, Patrick Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Derek Carr, and Justin Herbert. And maybe Kirk Cousins, if you're looking for one more. So it's not like they face a lot of really high-level quarterbacks, and that's always one of the key indicators to success for me in the NFL is quarterback play. Who's your quarterback? I mean, Dak Prescott, maybe include him in that group. So maybe they play 6.
Well, your guy, did you say Derek Carr?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay, And then obviously Carson Wentz.
I did not include Carson Wentz.
Ryan Tannehill.
I failed to include Carson Wentz and Ryan Tannehill, and it was not an oversight.
And
neither one intimidates or now, you know, Carson Wentz is probably going to come in and just torch the Colts.
Probably.
And he'll probably throw those little shovel passes about 3 times for big plays. That'll be interesting what to expect from Carson Wentz when he comes in with the Washington Commanders. That game, by the way, it's scheduled as a late afternoon time slot. Like I said, the NFL loves the drama and the storylines. For instance, when the Colts go out to Denver on October 6th in week five, that's going to be a Thursday. That's the Thursday night game, I believe, right? In the October 6th, yeah, the October 6th game is going to be the Thursday night game against the Broncos, because what do you have?
Yes, short week.
Two veteran quarterbacks, both playing first year with a new team, two good teams, two teams that have a lot of youth. So I think it's a perfect game to match up on a Thursday night, Broncos, Colts. A lot of times there's a lot of Thursday night games that are not that good. The only problem about this, Caleb, is it's the game on the schedule I won't be able to watch. I wish they'd have done some dog game so I don't have to, because I think that's going to be a good game, and I don't have, what is it, Amazon Prime? Is that what you got to have to be able to watch the...
Yeah, what I'll be curious to see is if there's a way to watch non-streaming on like a local channel, you know, within the market or markets. So not necessarily Fort Wayne, but like an indie, would there be a local channel that you'd be able to watch the game that's not via Amazon Prime? That's what I'm curious, because they used to do that for games that were on, like ESPN, for example, would be put on a local channel just in that market.
So we need a road trip. We'll have to broadcast from Indy that night so we can go to a local establishment and watch the Colts game. 46862, Parkview Sports Madison text line, 46862. We'll come back. Good talking to Bernard Raimann. I think we hit on something, though, that Bernard Raimann wants to be able to play a tackle-eligible play. I think he wants to go out and catch the ball. Former tight end. I mean, you never lose that, do you? Once you've been a guy that's gone out, caught passes, scored touchdowns, you never lose that desire to go out and catch another one. And at 6'7", 309 pounds, something like that, big guy.
Very big. And
but athletic.
Yes. So that means the footwork is still there.
Yeah, well, soccer. You know, that's, he's got the background. He's got the soccer background. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, if you'd like to connect with us. This is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. I am reading a fantastic report, a column that was written by STLtoday.com about the Rams move from St. Louis to Los Angeles, how it happened, what was really going on behind the scenes, and a lot of this information came from court documents over the lawsuit that was filed by St. Louis with the Rams and the NFL. And this is fascinating. Just sitting here reading. Back in 2014, the NFL commissioner Roger Goodell had his Super Bowl press conference, and he told the world he had no knowledge at all of the plans by the Rams owner Stan Kroenke to develop a stadium in Los Angeles. But the court documents revealed that was not true, that Kroenke had long before briefed Goodell on his plan to buy the old Hollywood Park racetrack in Inglewood, and Goodell promised total confidentiality. Kroenke said that he trusted him, and Goodell apparently stayed true to his word and kept things a secret of what was going on behind the scenes as the Rams were working to make their move to St. Louis. Now, this move from St. Louis to Los Angeles was even being supported by Disney CEO Michael Eisner, who was working behind the scenes to try to get the NFL back to Los Angeles. And all of this was going on without public knowledge. And in fact, at one point, Kroenke talked to one of the top executives with the Rams and basically said, we need to keep this quiet under the cover of darkness, because they didn't want to impact season ticket sales for the Rams in St. Louis prior to announcing the move. Fascinating story. Just reading how this was all done secretively so that St. Louis continued to support the team and to come out and pay the money to wear Rams jerseys and buy Rams tickets. And yet, all the while going on behind the scenes, you had Stan Kroenke, their owner, Kroenke, the owner, making plans to uproot the team and to move it out to Los Angeles in that brand new stadium.
And is any of this surprising?
No.
Exactly.
No, it is. It isn't actually, but it's always great when somebody does the report that makes everything that you think happened become fact. Because up until that point, it's speculation and it's an opinion. But now, when you've got the documents that support it and you have actual documented conversations that took place, now it all of a sudden becomes fact. And so it's great reporting on STLtoday.com. 46862, our Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Good chat with Bernard Raimann earlier in the hour, the new Colts offensive tackle. I mean, it sounds like he feels like he's competing for a starting job, that he wants to just continue to improve. Like he said, Frank Reich will decide who the starter is going to be. But what he did not say was that he's planning on being a backup. I mean, it sounds like the Colts have given him an opportunity to come in, work, improve. And if you turn out to be the best at that position, you've got a shot to earn that starting spot at left tackle.
Between Dennis Kelly, Matt Pryor, and then throwing Bernard Raimann, that will be, I think, the position battle to watch, at least in training camp and the preseason, to see how that goes. Because, look, they have to protect Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan is not a young guy.
Kelly,
Matt Ryan getting injured completely derails the Colts season if they can't protect him. We've seen what happens, you know, in past years. Unfortunately, the Colts not protecting a quarterback, they're going to have to find a way to make sure that that left tackle position is shored up and good to go for the regular season.
And out of that group, and that's one of the things that I asked Bernard Raimann, was out of that group, there's only one that has actually been a left tackle throughout most of their playing career, and that is Bernard Raimann. Matt Pryor, he has moved right and left. And then you've got Dennis Kelly, primarily a right tackle, and many people believe he's more an insurance policy for Braden Smith in case Braden Smith goes down, because they don't want to have weaknesses on both edges. But we'll see where this all plays out. But a good discussion. If you missed it, you can always catch up, because we always have our shows on the podcast. Wherever you listen to your favorite podcast, whether that be Apple or Spotify or somewhere else, you can always search for The Sports Rush with Brett Rump. And then make sure you follow us for free and check out the show daily. And if you so desire, give us a rating and review wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. 46862. If you'd like to connect with us, coming up next week, we're going to have qualifying tickets to give away. The Indy 500 qualifying comes up next week, and we'll give you tickets that you can win all week long. Plus, online, we're going to have a contest rolling to win tickets to the Indianapolis 500. Yes, the race itself. We've got tickets that we will give away. We'll give you details, or you can get them by going to 1380thefan.com. Are the details up yet? I don't even know if the details are posted. I might be giving you information in advance of what I should be, but it doesn't matter. You're going to find out anyway. You should know. We've got tickets to give away next week.
It's not up there yet.
It's coming.
Exactly.
Trust me, I've got insider information that we're giving away tickets to the Indy 500 online next week, and tickets to the qualifying all next week.
And you can see me there both days next week.
There, now that's worth the prize. See, I should have thrown that in with WWE, Caleb. We'd have had much more demand on the tickets. I should have said WWE tickets, and you can sit close to me. You know who else is going to be at the WWE? Who else you can sit next to with if you won the tickets this week? Because we aren't going to give any more away, so you already had to have won, but E.C. Hendricks.
Oh, really?
Yes, he and the family coming to town from South Bend to take in the WWE next weekend. So, yeah, so you can hang out with me, D.C. Caleb will be down in Indy, so if you go to qualifying down in Indy, you can hang out with Caleb, because that's May 22nd. That is the qualifying day where all kinds of heck breaks loose. But it's the top 12, then it's the top six, and it's a run to the pole, or race to the pole. How do they, you know, we talked about this, Caleb. We need to come up with a flashy name for this day, because they don't have one yet, so we can brand our own for whatever we want to call it.
Yeah, so the top 12 after Saturday will advance to the Fast 12.
So only 12 cars will be qualified, or will be on the track on Sunday.
Correct. And they'll do top 12, and they narrow it down to the top six, and then the top six will run, and then whoever is fastest out of the runs from there will win the pole.
And then the top three, and then the top two, and
not that bad, thankfully.
Kind of close. Of course, this year, only 33 cars entered in the field, so there won't be any bumping. So to replace that drama that you normally have on Sunday where cars are being bumped and then trying to get back into the field, IndyCar has come up with the idea of the 12 to the 6 to the pole. And we'll see how that goes this year. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Oh, big night tonight, Caleb. Big night. I could win my vending machine snack if the Panthers can win at Washington. It's the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs. Panthers go in with a 3-2 lead into Washington, trying to wrap up the series. If Washington does somehow prevail tonight, Game 7 in that series is going to be Sunday in Florida. NBA playoffs, if you missed it earlier, we talked about Miami eliminating Philadelphia. But, of course, the other story around the NBA playoffs may be what's happening with the Dallas-Phoenix series. How about this series? Dallas ends up winning 113-86 over the Phoenix Suns last night. That series all tied up 3-3. It heads to Phoenix, where the Suns have been really good, but they were not good last night. And Dallas ends up winning an elimination game, and they continue to survive. I'll tell you, the tough thing is when you've got a player like Doncic, and he was hitting some step back threes and a lot of confidence with Dallas when Doncic is playing well, it's kind of a scary team to face because Doncic could go off for 45, 50 points and just single-handedly keep them in the game. He had 33 in last night's game, including 11 rebounds, 8 assists. I don't know, Phoenix, how much trouble are they in? Heading home, they've got a must-win Game 7.
I don't think they're in any trouble. This series has been so bizarre because you've had double digits in most of the games as far as the victory margin in this series, so it's never actually felt like it was that close, even though the tally says it's 3-3. I think the Suns will cruise in Game 7 at home.
Yeah, it's 30 points one direction, 30 points the other, and we'll see what happens when they go back to Phoenix for Game 7. Meanwhile, tonight, you've got a couple of Game 6s. You've got the Celtics and the Bucks. How do the Celtics respond after blowing that 10-point lead to the Bucks at home a couple of nights ago? Now they go into Milwaukee with the Bucks having a chance to wrap up this series. Milwaukee enters the game as a 1-point favorite over Boston. Backs to the wall. Does Boston respond? Do they keep this alive? Do they force a Game 7? Or does Milwaukee clinch it and head on to the Eastern Conference Finals series against Miami?
I think the Bucks move on.
I want to say not so fast. But it's tough to get bet against the Bucks. They're just a veteran team that, despite the odds, despite the expectations, dealing with the injury to Chris Middleton, the Bucks find ways. Connaughton ended up being a huge hero for them the other night. And so it's hard to bet against the Bucks. I want to say the Celtics force a Game 7 just because I'd like to see the Game 7, but we'll see. But the other series, Memphis Grizzlies minus Ja. Oh, they won it by 39 in Game 5. Now it's a Game 6. This is so big. And Golden State, an 8-point favorite. That's how different it is at home at Golden State. So Vegas is telling us Golden State can put what happened in Game 5 completely in the rearview mirror, forget about it, and come out and dominate the game tonight. What do you expect, Caleb?
Golden State to close it out.
Okay, that was too quick. There was supposed to be more debate there.
Look, they had a bad performance, a very bad performance, mind you, and I think they're going to be fine tonight. I think they'll take care of business, and that will be the series. Look, it's Golden State playing at home. They will win. It's that simple, and I don't think they're going to lay an egg like they did the other night. That's just simply not going to happen.
Here's the thing you see with young teams like the Grizzlies. When things are going well, they kind of multiply. In other words, they start to feel really confident. They play with a different swagger. But when things go bad, they can go away in a hurry because you challenge their confidence. Now somebody has to step up and make a play, and it's a young team. And the problem I've got with tonight is I could see the Warriors building a big first half lead And I'm not sure how Memphis responds to that, because they are a young team, because they do not have their leader they can count on for a bucket when they desperately need one. I kind of feel like the Warriors are going to roll in this one. And yeah. I hate to say it. I really hate to say it.
I do too. Look, Memphis has outplayed, you know, what expectations are since they lost Ja Morant the other night. And it's been a good run for them. I don't think anyone expected the victory they had the other night with that margin, but they're a team that is a year ahead of schedule, right? I mean, getting to the playoffs, that's one thing, but advancing and being a team with a legitimate shot to get to the Western Conference Finals, I think they're a year ahead of schedule. It's still a young team. It's a talented team. I think come back next season, they will be one of the true contenders in the West.
Although they are the number two seed, so... I mean, based on regular season records, you would expect that they would maybe make it to the Western Conference Finals. But, you know, when you play Golden State and Golden State has all their weapons, boy, Philadelphia, what a tough story with Philadelphia. You got James Harden overpaid, now a big decision by Philadelphia. You've got Danny Green, who it was confirmed today, tore his ACL. I'm not sure if Danny Green comes back from that. Because you almost felt like Danny Green was getting near the end of his career anyway. You know, this is going to probably sideline him close to a year being out with the torn ACL. Now, I know with today's science and today's physical therapy and all, generally you can get back 6 to 9 months from a torn ACL. But, boy, tough night for Philadelphia. They were eliminated last night by the Miami Heat. So the Heat wait on the winner of the Celtics-Bucks series. And it could be the Bucks as of tonight. We'll take a break. We'll come back. It is the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. And welcome back to my voice. I was just about to lose it there, Caleb. I don't know. You know, it is Friday, and I've done a lot of talking this week. So my voice was about to say, you know what? It's the weekend, dude. I'm thirsty for a beer. You know, I don't know. I can't even tell you last time I had a beer.
I only have so many words in a day, so
yeah,
you're running out of words.
That's it. I've hit my word quota. Time to turn the mics off and go home. Welcome back to the Sports Rush. We do appreciate you being with us. Somebody did let us know, Caleb, that the bye weeks for the NFL are between weeks 6 and 14, and so the Colts having a bye week in week 14, it's the last week of byes. So in a way, I look at the schedule, and it was just put together really well for the Colts. They don't have three in a row on the road. The most they play on the road back-to-back is two. I think starting out with Houston and Jacksonville gives them two winnable road games before they come home to start their slate at Lucas Oil Stadium against the Kansas City Chiefs. They are in primetime four times this year, including an early October primetime game at Denver, but then two Monday night home games. You know, the Colts have complained for years that they have not hosted a Monday night home game, and now they get two of them within about, 4 weeks? How crazy is that? And they're not even great Monday night games. What is it, the Steelers and the Chargers? I guess the Chargers could be an intriguing game, depending on how things go. But I also find it interesting that the primetime games, three of the four that the Colts are going to have on primetime, are very late in the season, which gives me an idea that the NFL or the networks believe that the Colts are going to be a contender, that the Colts are going to have a good team. Otherwise, why would you put them at the end of the season? Now, maybe you've got the flex game, so you put the Colts at the end and say, well, if it turns out they're not that good, we can always pull the plug on that primetime. I don't know what the flex weeks are, but I know there's usually a couple of flex weeks late in the season. But no, the Colts end up with four primetime games, which I guess if you're a Colts fan, that's a good sign, because the more you're picked into primetime, generally the better your team is expected to be. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. It is Friday the 13th. By the way, Caleb, I don't know if we've ever had this discussion, but I do have... I don't know that I would call it a fantasy, and certainly I wouldn't call it a fetish, but I do have a interest in haunted houses or ghost chasing or whatever you would call it. I watch a lot of those shows that, you know, the ghost adventures, ghost hunters, whatever it might be.
I love that type of stuff. I think it's just fascinating. Paranormal, caught on camera. I don't know if you watched that show, but there were a couple of good ones last night. Anyway, what's the most haunted place in Fort Wayne? Do we know? I mean, is there one place where if you went around and asked people, it's like, oh, well, it's this. Is there a bridge or something in Fort Wayne that people talk about? I'm trying to think. If there was a place where we could have a Sports Rush ghost hunt outing, where would we go?
There's a haunted library, apparently, that they do. It's like, let's see.
Is this like number one on Google, was the haunted library?
Yeah, which I think it's more of telling stories. Haunted places in Fort Wayne.
I know this, that a couple of times those national ghost hunting shows have been either in Fort Wayne. Now, one of them does like houses and stuff, so it could have been a private residence. But is there a public building that is known? I thought at one point, maybe even the hotel attached to the embassy, when that was the former hotel, that I thought there was rumors about that. 46862 is our Parkview Sports Medicine text line. If you know a place, because I think it would be really fun to try to set up with some ghost chasing team. And if any listeners wanted to tag along, but just set up a ghost hunt some night where we could go out late at night. Now, are you into that kind of thing, or would that be no interest at all to you?
Not my cup of tea.
Really? I don't know why it fascinates me, but it does. Now, have you ever been haunted? My house was haunted at one point.
I've not been haunted. I've heard stories.
Where you live, I'm surprised, because I lived by where you live now.
Uh-huh.
And that was the house that was haunted.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Water? There is a house near where I used to live, just outside of downtown, the Mason Long House, 922 Columbia Avenue, that is haunted. This is from the News Sentinel. Go figure.
I was on California Avenue. That's all okay. I will say. Not too far from Lakeside Park. And the house was like 80 years old. And I don't know the history of the house, so don't ask me. But all of a sudden in the house, like the lights would flicker at times, and then the water faucets would turn on and off on their own. My TV would turn on and off on its own. And all of these things would happen. It's not like you would have this rush of all these things happening at once, but it was just, you know, once every couple of weeks, the TV would start turning off. I'd turn it on and then it would turn back off. Or you'd notice the dining room lights flickering, your reaction would be you go in and you try to screw in the little lights on the chandelier fixture because you think, oh, the lights are loose. That's why they're flickering, but then they aren't loose. The weirdest thing that happened, though, at that house, well, first of all, it had these big wooden doors on a wooden floor, but the people before me put carpeting in. Now, if you put shag carpeting, which it was shag, I'll have to admit, I lived in a house with shag carpeting. Didn't go through the expense of replacing it. It was upstairs. No one knew about it anyway. But shag carpeting under a door that hasn't been shaved and was a door designed to be on a wood floor, what happens is it rubs really hard on the shag carpeting. In fact, it almost was impossible to open and close that bedroom door. One time I was downstairs, that bedroom door closed upstairs. One time I was in the bed and I heard noise in the bathroom. I went in there and my shower, which had not been used for about 16, 18 hours. My shower was wet. My soap was all sudsy, and yet no one had used that shower. I absolutely guarantee you. No one had used that shower for 18 hours, but the soap was sudsy. The shower was wet. Like somebody had taken a shower. It was crazy. I never really thought about it. And then one time I left the house, came back, my stereo was playing. And it was even playing a CD that wasn't even in the stereo when I'd left the house. And I've got witnesses to all this. So it's not like I just went crazy for a few years. No, I do have witnesses to this, but the house is on California Avenue. But well, I never saw a figure. I never saw, what do they call the figures that you see, but aberration or whatever they call them. But I never witnessed anything like that, but the house was haunted without question.
Great entry on the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Someone texted in haunted place in Fort Wayne... my mother-in-law's house.
the in-laws, always. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the best of the weekend. When we return, it's the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. So, anyway, we just did some Google Earth and looking at where that house was that was haunted. So Caleb now knows where it's at. But yeah, it was crazy because when my TV kept going off, I thought the neighbors had a TV remote that they were messing with me. And then, of course, when the water would turn on and off, I kept thinking that the plumbing was a problem. When the lights would flicker, I thought it was electricity. I had an electrician come out and check the wiring of my house because I thought it's an old house, 80 years old. Maybe it's got some bad faulty wiring and I better check this out so I don't get a fire. And it ended up the wiring was perfect. In fact, it had already been updated by the people that lived there before I did. Big weekend of sports. Of course, the Fort Wayne FC with their home opener coming up on Sunday. That's 3 o'clock out of Shields Field out of Bishop Dwenger High School. Also, a weekend of Tin Caps baseball at South Bend tonight, 7:05, 6:45, the pregame show with the Hoopy Insurance Services pregame show. John Nolan, Mike Moss with a call for Tin Caps baseball tonight. Hope you have a terrific weekend. We're going to come back on Monday. Walter Jordan will be our guest right here on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.